Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew. Now we're moving into the 19th chapter as we go through this great book, the Gospel according to Matthew, the 19th chapter, and we'll begin in the beginning. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him, saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, I ask that you would take your word, and Father, that you would just draw us close to you in this moment. I pray, God, that we'd have your will accomplished. And Father, I thank you that you love us and you have a plan for us. Let us walk in that plan. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in a world that wants family, that needs family, and people want to be a part of a family. But at the same time, there are forces trying to pull families apart. It is a common thing to have someone mess up in a couple, and because of that mess up, there becomes a breakup. And that breakup hurts the families. There are about 1 million divorces every year in the United States. Often there are actually communities where there are more divorces than there are marriages. It is obvious that people do not take God's separation of marriage as an important part of their lives and commitments. People just don't take the commitment of marriage seriously. In marriage, you take your mate for better or worse, except today, a lot of people are taking their mates for better or worse, just not for very long. And we see marriages breaking down. We see families falling apart. Divorced people claim that their mates are just far better at being worse than they thought they would be. And they look for an out. Well, it's not new. People have been looking for an out of marriage. It's been a problem for a long time. In 1975, Paul Simon wrote a song, became an instant hit. Maybe some of you remember it. "The problem is all inside your head," she said to me. "The answer is easy if you take it logically. I'd like to help you in your struggle to be free. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover. You just slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just get yourself free. Hop on a bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee, and get yourself free." A lot of people are looking for the door out of marriage, but that's not what God has intended. I talk with a lot of couples. I've talked with a lot of couples that are contemplating the breakup of homes. It is never pleasant. It is always hurtful. And it damages many people. Our main way of dealing with counseling in our church is right here, where we teach God's word week in, week out. We stick with God's word and what God has to say about your life, because God's got a plan for you, and you need to walk within God's plan. And God's plan tells us how we are to deal with marriage. And I really want to catch you before you clock out. If you have been through a divorce, if you are thinking about divorce, If you're thinking about it, then yeah, we want to talk to you this morning. But if you've been through a divorce and you've suffered through that type of anguish in your life, I want to clear the air and let you know this is not an attack on you. It is not a put down for you. And in fact, it is not a condemnation of you. If you have been through a divorce, we are sorry that you have had that horrible experience in your life. And we want you to know we love you. And we want you to know God still has a plan for you. And we want you to know God's plan. At the same time, we would be doing wrong if we did not tell people what God's plan is for marriage and what God thinks of divorce. To teach you about all the other things that God talks about. He talks about birth, he talks about sickness, he talks about death, he talks about families, he talks about relationships, he talks about finances, he talks about marriage, and he talks about divorce. To leave out that last part would be not fair for you. And it would not give you what you need as you go through life. So here it is, hear it very clearly. This is what God says about divorce. In Malachi 2:16, I hate divorce. Now that's not a mild statement, it's a very strong statement, and God made it. I want you to understand what he is saying and what he is not saying. He says, I hate divorce. He is not saying, I hate divorced people. You need to understand, in God's concepts, God hates lying. He does not say he hates the liar. God hates drunkenness. He does not hate the alcoholic. God hates adultery. He does not hate the adulterer. God hates homosexuality. He does not hate the homosexual. God hates sin. He does not hate the sinner. And I don't know about you, but that's good for me, because I am a sinner and you are a sinner and all of us are sinners and we all need God's forgiveness. And it is great to know that even though I've messed up, God loves me anyway. And I want you to know God loves you anyway. And he wants that love to cover you, and he wants that love to pour through you. God hates those things that hurt us, and sin hurts us. So God hates divorce. He hates what divorce does to people, families, children's homes, societies, and yeah, churches. In this verse, Jesus and his disciples are confronting with some Pharisees. These Pharisees come up and they want to blindside Jesus and they want to trick him. In verse 3, the Pharisees came to Jesus tempting him, tricking him, setting a trap for him. They raise a question on the hot topic of the day. It was a hot topic in that day. It is a hot topic in this day. What is a valid reason for divorce? Now, there were two schools of thought in the Jewish world. There was the Shammai school. The Shammai school under Rabbi Shammai taught very strictly divorce is only available and only presentable, only acceptable when there has been infidelity. And then there was the Hillel school. In the Hillel school, divorce for anything at all. You want a divorce, you get a divorce. Anything happens wrong, you get a divorce. Hillel taught whatever happens, whatever goes on, you get a divorce. Now, I want you to know this was all taught one-sided. The man was the only one that could get the divorce. I didn't make these rules. This is the rules they had at that time, and that's what they did. His wife talked too loud, divorce her. His wife burnt the toast, divorce her. His wife talked too frequently, divorce her. She snores, divorce her. She doesn't keep a clean house, divorce her. She keeps the house too clean, divorce her. You see somebody that looks better to you than her, divorce her. It didn't matter what the reason was. Any reason was okay if you wanted to get a divorce. Guess which one of these was most popular? the more liberal view was the most popular view. And may I say, it is the view held by our world today. It doesn't matter what the reason is. There is some reason. You can put it on a piece of paper and you can divorce your spouse and you can just walk away thinking all is good. But Jesus deals with this issue. Now, Jesus explains the beginning. He doesn't build his case on Shammai or on Hillel. He goes straight to the Bible. And by the way, that's where you really need to take up your case. In verse 4, he says, "Have you not read?" This is a condemnation. These are people that are supposed to know the Bible. He says, "Didn't you read your Bible?" Can I tell you that is a lot of our problems? I'm talking about as Christians. It is a lot of our problem. We don't read what God has to say. You know, take yourself to what God says and take what God says and put it in your life and in your heart, and that will affect how you live. But go to God's Word first. Go to God's Word before you go to Dr. Phil. You know, go to God's Word before you listen to whatever your divorced friends say. Go to God's Word and see what God has to say about what you're doing, how you're thinking, and how you're going to carry out your life. Jesus takes us to the Bible. It's not the thoughts of teachers. It is not the status quo that should determine how a Christian lives. It is God, and God communicates to us through the Bible. We've got to see what God has to say. So Jesus goes to the Bible. He goes to Genesis. God made them male and female. This is how couples are put together, by the way. God says it in the beginning. He made them male and female. You know the names of them. What are their names? Adam and Eve. God made them male and female. He made Adam and Eve. There would not be any confusion in this relationship because there was only one of each. He didn't make Adam and make three spares for Eve. There was Adam and there was Eve. And so he made this couple to go together. You may not know this. Apparently, a lot of people in teaching today do not know this, but men and women are different. I've always thought that was a good thing. God made them male and female, and I gotta say this, God did not make a couple out of a male and a male or a female and a female. God made them male and female. Maybe he didn't make more because he didn't want them confused, but he made male and female. And in case you don't get it from that, understand this truth. God will tell the male and female to be fruitful and multiply. That means to procreate, to have children. There is only one coupling that makes having children possible. So wouldn't you think that's what God meant for marriage to be? God chooses marriages to be between a man and a woman. And you know, for years we understood that, but somehow something happened in the world and now it's not understood anymore. States may come forward and they may say same-sex unions are okay, but they did not check with God. Now, please understand, we don't hate anybody. We're just trying to say what God's purpose and God's will is. It was male and female from the start. It is male and female today. That is what God wants. That's what God will bless. That's how couples are made, and that's how couples should be married. Verse 5, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife." Now, there is no breakup in this reading. A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. The wife is feminine. So you have a male and a female coming together. God puts them together. That becomes a family. People think, well, we have children and we start a family. Oh, no. You start a family when you come together as a male and a female. You add children to the family. You bring children into the family. But the family is the male and the female. There's to be a leaving the temporary relationship and a cleaving to the permanent relationship. The word cleaving, very interesting word. It means glue, stick. And so if your spouse is around, look over at your spouse and say, you're stuck with me. That's what God means. He sticks us together. He joins us together, and that's a good thing. Now, it's not meant to be a bad thing. The permanent relationship is between a husband and a wife. The other relationship that is a great relationship is between the parent and the child. The parent and the child relationship is a temporary relationship. Children grow up, and they should. Children go off in their own lives, and they should, at the appropriate time. It doesn't mean they don't love their parents anymore. It doesn't mean they don't like their parents anymore. And it should not mean that they don't listen to their parents anymore. But it does mean that when you leave that parental relationship and you join yourself to a mate, that mate becomes your primary relationship, and it is meant to be permanent. You know what? You guys sure are quiet. So, verse 5, you cleave to your wife, you stick to your wife. Jesus tells us not only that couples are stuck with each other, he tells us a new kind of math. Marital math is different from regular math. In regular math, 1 + 1 = 2. That's not how God adds in the family. In God's world, 1 + 1 = 1. The husband and wife are to come together, and they are to become one flesh. They are to be one in many ways. There's one in a physical relationship. Yes, that is a sexual relationship. Sex is reserved for marriage. Sex before marriage is wrong, forbidden by God. Sex with anyone other than your mate is wrong, forbidden by God. And just understand that. That's how God put it. 1 + 1 = 1. You are seeking to become one in all ways with your mate, and you're seeking to make them better and complete them, and they are completing you. That's how God made it. And so we become one physically. We become one psychologically. You know, couples begin to think alike. They actually become one spiritually because they believe alike. If you're going to believe alike, you both need to be believers to start with. And so if God is going to create a Christian home, then you both need to be Christians, and that is very important. This takes time. You know, usually when couples first come together, they're not alike. Have you ever heard opposites attract? Well, you know, there are differences. And so, guys, she may not be like you. She may not understand things you understand. They all make sense to you, but they don't all make sense to her. And guys, I know what you think. You think you're right and she's wrong, because that's the same thing she thinks. She thinks she's right and you're wrong. If you want to be married a long time, just understand you need to go with her a lot of the time. In marriage, God completes you. God knew Adam needed a mate. He knows when you need a mate, and he can fulfill your life with another individual. That individual will make you better for Jesus. But they can't make you better for Jesus if they don't know Jesus. So Jesus says, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Well, he says that. That's exactly what he says. Don't let anyone tear this up. This is a warning against breaking up a marriage. Someone that moves into a marriage is to move into a marriage with the concept that this is for life. When you go to get married, if you can't commit for life, you're not ready to get married. Jesus warns, let not man put marriage, the marriage bond, asunder. God takes marriage seriously. When anyone would do anything to break it up, it's a move against God. It's a move against God's will. So this is a warning. It's a warning against counselors who would move a couple toward divorce. And that's done a lot. It's a warning against friends who would say, well, don't put up with him. Don't put up with her. Why don't you get out? You'll be much happier. It's a warning against people that have been through divorce and try to get you to be like them. It's a warning. And so don't be a party to seeking to break up a home. Take your advice from God. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And if God joins couples together, and he joins couples together that are believing couples, friend, you should not date a non-believer. You should not move toward pairing with a non-believer. That is against God and against God's plan. Divorce is a problem today. It was a problem in Jesus' day. And guess what? It was a problem in Moses' day. They were trying to change God's word around. In Deuteronomy 24, it speaks of grounds for divorce and writing out a document of divorce. That is in the Bible. And that is in Moses' writing. In verse 8, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your spouse. Jesus is going to explain the scriptures. He's going to explain the Bible, and so he expounds on the Bible. If you think that God created divorce, you're wrong. If you think God commanded divorce, you're wrong. In fact, that's exactly what the Pharisees are saying. They're saying Moses commanded divorce. Why did Moses command divorce? Read the Bible. Moses did not command divorce. Because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your spouse. Moses had to deal with a world that was messed up. He had to deal with a world where relationships were breaking up, and he was dealing with real people in a real world where divorces were happening. And so he brought in an opportunity, if you will, to protect in cases of divorce. Who's he protecting? He's protecting the wife. You see, it was at that point that a woman could be cast aside for any purpose. If she was cast aside and the male said that she was, and the husband said that she was immoral, she could be stoned to death. So Moses allows for them to divorce and getting a writ of divorcing that protects the woman. He never commanded divorce. Because divorce is there, there had to be some order. He had similar problems to the problems we have today. If your spouse runs out on you, it is a tragedy. If your spouse hurts you, it is an abomination. And in today's world, I am sorry to have to say this, but it needs to be said. If you have someone abusing you, you need to separate yourself from that person. I am not calling you to divorce. I'm just saying there needs to be some sense put into the relationship. it is important that we look at our homes the way God does. Jesus says it was permitted because of a hard heart. Hard heart, that's sclerosis. Like sclerosis of the liver is a hardening tissue. He's saying your hearts became so hard that you would not continue to love. And when your heart becomes so hard, it's hard to move through anything. Now, I don't know what's happened in your home. I don't really need to know what's happening in your home. But I will tell you this. Two people, a husband and a wife, that will love each other and love Jesus, can work through anything. And I do mean anything. Divorce is a spiritual problem. It doesn't happen the first time somebody gets upset. It usually is a building process. And you need to go back and repair the wounds, repair the building that has been undone, and put things back together. It can be done. And many have done that, and many are blessed by a marriage that has weathered the storms. Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I'm going to be honest with you. I have been being honest with you. Every relationship has storms. Every single one. I would ask people to tell me whose marriage is perfect, but I don't want people to lie. There are no perfect people, and there are no perfect marriages. Oh, but there is a perfect God who can lead you through storms, who can give you victory in great hardships. Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, that's a sexual sin, would be wrong. Jesus says sexual immorality could be a reason for divorce. Does not have to be. And just so you're aware, the words that Jesus uses is talking about a pattern of infidelity. And there should not ever be infidelity in any home, but if it is, God can get you through that. But if you cannot get through that, God permits a separation. There is room in every situation for forgiveness. Do you guys know what we talked about last week? I just gave you a big hint. It was forgiveness. I kind of think it's interesting that God puts a passage on forgiving everyone anything all the time right before he deals with divorce. He's trying to send us a message. If you will forgive and you will develop forgiveness in your life, you can get through anything. As long as you are loving Jesus, as long as you are moving toward his will, there's room for a healing of a marriage. And then Jesus examines behavior. He's given them God's will. And now the disciples come up. The disciples hear what he says. He said, "What?" The disciples have been listening. Now, this is amazing. It's always amazing to me when church people actually listen. And so the disciples are listening, and they said, "Hey, it'd be better if nobody ever got married." And Jesus says, "Well, since you brought it up, let me deal with that." And he speaks of eunuchs here. Now, this is important for this reason. He's talking about people that do not involve themselves in sexual relationships. He says some eunuchs are born that way. That's a biological situation. Some are made that way by men. Some for spiritual reasons. And what he's talking about is the single. Some people are gifted with being single. Some people are gifted with being married. If a person is gifted with being single, and I want to be as clear as I can be, you are gifted to a celibate life. That means no sex, okay? Is that clear enough? It does not mean you can play the field with anybody and anything doing whatever. That's not what it means. Sex outside the bonds of marriage is wrong anytime it occurs. And just understand that. And if you are involved with someone and you're not married to someone, it is very likely you are involved with someone else's spouse where they are married to them now or they are going to be married to them in the future. Don't go there. And so God does call some people and gift them with celibacy. If you have a desire to marry or you have a desire toward the opposite sex, let me tell you a gift you don't have. Celibacy. But until you are married, you are to remain celibate. And that's what God says. And immediately after this comes the children issue. Children want to come to Jesus and the disciples are going to keep them away. And Jesus says, don't keep little children away from me. And look at the flow of Scripture. You need to have a home that raises children to Jesus, and that means you need to have a home that works out details and works out difficulties and loves one another and loves one another enough to forgive one another so a child can be raised at a home. Do you stay together just for the child? Well, you know, there could be worse reasons. You want to give the child as stable a home as possible, but it's better that that home be a stable home bathed in the love of Jesus, where couples are loving one another, working out their details with one another, and pouring that love over on their children. And so Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me." If you are divorced, I want you to know if you were divorced and you are the innocent party in that divorce, God loves you and God cares for you and God still has a life for you, and just understand that. If you are divorced and you are the guilty party in that divorce and you know, just understand God loves you, God can forgive you, God can bless you, and God can give you a life beyond where you are. But understand this also. Do not take the selfishness that led to one divorce into another marriage. You need to get things right with God. You need to become a person that lives for God before you're ready to be a person that lives with someone else in marriage. And if you've been through the hardship and anguish of a divorce, forgive. Forgive. You don't know what he did to me. I don't. And I'm not saying it wasn't horrible. I'm just saying you've got to forgive. We forgive because God forgives and he calls upon us to. We forgive because not to forgive leaves you bonded to someone's hurt. And you can't be God's blessing to others in that situation. So you forgive and you trust God to give you the grace to forgive and you move forward. To be forgiven, you need to forgive. If you've never met Jesus, you don't have the power to love. You don't have the power to have God's best. You don't have the power to build the right type of life for the right kind of family. And so what you need is you need to come to Jesus. And we challenge you today, come to Jesus. Just walk down an aisle, say, "I want Jesus." That's all you have to say. God will know your belief, and because of your belief, we will pray, and Jesus will come into your heart. He'll forgive your sins. He will save your soul. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, any unconfessed sin in your life, Get clean with Jesus. It doesn't have to be in the world of divorce. Just get clean with Jesus. And you will find God preparing your life for the future to bless you and to use you for His glory. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I thank you that you deal with the hard issues of life, but you deal with them in such a way to be a blessing to us, to bring us to forgiveness, to bring us to a new life. Father, I pray for anyone here that does not know you, that they would be willing to come to you today and say, I want Jesus. Father, I pray for believers that have gotten away from you in any way, Father, that today would be the day they would come back to you and seek your blessing and your guidance. And Father, I pray for marriages. I pray that you would strengthen them. I pray that you would elevate Jesus in each and every one. I pray that you would build your love, that you would build your forgiveness. I pray, Father, that you would remove anything that would harm that marriage, that family. And I pray Jesus would be exalted there. I pray, God, that you would be with those that have gone through the difficulty of divorce. Show them your love and mercy, your willingness to forgive, your willingness to bless, and your willingness to create a new life. And Father, do it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you come as we sing?